Okay, this seems to be working. Okay, so the course has the general theme is action and change, and a particular application that we will be focusing most of this class is autonomous agents. So I need to tell you about what I mean by what is this action and change business? This is something you never heard of before, or you might have heard the word action and changes in English, but you might have seen in some of your some research areas. But what is the big deal about it? I covered this, so I will. As I said, it's an advanced graduate level course. Prerequisites non-formally, but if you have not taken an AI class, if you are afraid of writing proofs, or if you don't know what NP completeness is, talk to me. I mean, these are some of the things that, especially in the beginning, first month, I will talk about a little bit about proofs and NP completeness. It's not something which runs through the whole course, but these are important concepts in advanced computer science, which every student who is going to advanced computer science should know about. And quite often many students don't have that training, so I have injected a part of it in the beginning of the course. Okay. So this is an important, anybody doing a PhD should know about these things. Even a master's, you should know about certain kind of proofs and what is NP completeness. So, but the level of things that I'm, level of proofs and NP completeness that I'm going to use in this class are very preliminary, it's not very advanced. Okay. The course will be rigorous, very opposite from a software engineering course. So there will be logic and theory and algorithms and stuff. Okay, grade scaling. Basically, I will give A, B, C, and if I find somebody like say 85 is my A and someone getting 95, then I'll get the plus. So no minus, so you don't get penalized because minus is tendency of giving back. So I will try to avoid giving minus. It's more like you know where the A is, and if you're really far off the curve of A, then I'll give you plus. That seems to work well. So it's like the plus is for advantage, not there's no disadvantage in this giving this plus business. Okay. If I put minus, then there is always a temptation like, okay, this person is not A, I should give A minus. Okay. So this is, you see that when you write a book, you find some quote, right? So this is the quote I found from the 500 BC. It's a Greek philosopher. There are different spellings, Heraclitus. And what he said, basically, there are various English translations. In Greek, it says that Panta rei kai uden menai. Is there anyone in Greek here? No. So what it means is, all things are in motion and nothing at rest. So this is a deep philosophy, that everything is in motion. Okay? And how things are in motion, going further into it, says the world around us is dynamic. It changes. And many of these changes happen because of actions. So an action can be as simple as me picking up this mouse, okay? Something falling from a tree, accident. There are various kinds of actions, and we'll get there. So some actions are performed by us or by agents under our control. I can control something and do some actions, drive a car. Others are beyond our control. We control only part of it. Some are natural by the laws of gravity, by the laws of nature. Some are by other people, like not by me, by you, some other agents beyond my control. Okay? So this is kind of the world, and this is a physical world, and this world appears also this notion of world is there in many places. I mean, if you have a computer, you're programming, then the state of the various registers and memories, that's the world. Okay, you can do an action, you can put some value in a register, you can put some value in a memory. So those are actions, and they change the world. So as I will give you a few examples, this action, change, world, this permeates not only physical worlds, but various aspects of computer science. So some of the things we're going to discuss in some sense, although I'm going to focus more towards agents, it is applicable to many, many other domains in computer science or outside of it.
Okay.
So in some sense, it's a very fundamental issue. It's a very fundamental kind of a discipline that we are going to discuss here, which goes beyond just artificial intelligence or agents or robots, goes to other fields of computer science and outside computer science also. And our goal will be analyzing and reasoning about the evolution caused by actions and the changes they bring in, and maybe come up with ways to control the evolution in a desired way. It's like very philosophical thing. We want to be able to analyze, think about, understand the changes that are happening, and in some way be try to control it. So let me give you more concrete examples. So in case of programming, this is useful in terms of showing that a program is correct, or automatically generating some programs. Again, a program is working in the environment of, if you think of simple programs, environment of variables, memories and registers, if you go down the architecture level. Okay, ultimately you're changing values in the registers, you're changing values in the memory. Now there are of course programs that interact with people, you can go further and further. Now when you write a program, when you write a statement, if you do, I mean the basic action there is changing the value of a memory location, changing the value of a register, and now your program is not arbitrarily changing those values. There is something you are desiring, something you want to achieve. Okay, so in a sense, you are controlling that environment of changing those variables. You want, your program is controlling that. You want to control that. So a lot of research in the past, which has been done with respect to program correctness or coming up with programs automatically, is relevant. If you go down deep down into the philosophy there, the actions and chains, the theory that we're going to discuss, is going to be useful there. A little more recent is databases. So I don't know if any of you have worked in the real industries with databases. There are two kind of things you do in a database, two main things. You query a database and you update a database. Okay, you change. Now, when you update a database, a simple update is basically, let's talk about relational database, then you have a relation or a table and you, particular row you change, you add a new row to it, okay, new tuple to it in database language. Or for a particular row you change a particular value, somebody's salary increased, so you go and change the salary. Somebody got, you hired a new person, so you enter that person. You fire someone, that person is removed from that that table, right? So this is a small, this is a change you are making to a particular table. Now often when you get to the real databases, that is not enough, because there is something, some general consistency requirement of the whole database. So some change in one, this table, necessitates other changes in another table. Okay. So for example, if you are an employee and say you are in the so there is a table which talks about, which is about which are the employees in say computer science, and there is another table about who are the employees in ASU. So if somebody is fired from ASU, then he is no longer in the computer science table. So you have to find which department belongs to and change here. Okay. So here, the environment is the database. A action is entering, a kind of an extra outside action is making changes to a particular table. But we want to, the evolution of the database is controlled by certain consistency conditions. The database cannot arbitrarily change. It has to be consistent. It has some requirements. It has to be consistent. That the same, if the person name does not appear in the ASU list, that person cannot appear in the computer science list. That's a consistency condition. So to maintain that, to achieve that, so we want the database to evolve so that always this condition is true. So to be able to do that, whenever some particular change is made to a particular table, the system makes additional changes. I mean, the database entry person does not know the whole database. So she or he cannot go and change 10 other databases and they might make a mistake. So inside the system there are rules which will say, okay, if somebody made change to this table, go ahead and make change, this change to that table, this change to that table, so that the whole database remains consistent. Okay? So again, here you'll see as I go more deeper, there are changes happening to the database, there are actions which make the changes, and there's the evolution of the database, and we want to control the evolution to satisfy certain conditions. Okay, so these are the key words. Actions, the change, the environment, or the environment, and then there is the evolution, and you would like to control the evolution in a particular way. I work, another area where I recently started working for several years is in bioinformatics, where we like to model the behavior of cell. So here it's a physical domain, and in fact all the diseases, most diseases can be pinned down to things going wrong at the cellular level. Okay, inside the cell there are proteins. The genes make proteins. Under certain circumstances, and these proteins interact with each other in particular ways, and that's basically everything that drives life in some sense. Now again, there are actions happening, there are proteins interacting with each other. You take a drug, medicine is basically you're injecting certain kind of chemicals to that cell, and these actions have chain reactions like evolution. The world of the cell is evolving, and if it evolves the wrong way, the cell might die or may not die at all, just be cancerous. And you like to control the behavior of the cell in a particular way so that you're healthy. You want the cell not to become bad in some sense, behave badly. So all those concepts are again becoming important here to understand this environment. So that is the other example. And in distributed systems, so I'll give you an example, fault tolerance. So you have this, say, computers, and a fault is like an action, it changes things. I mean, or there's an action which makes a particular node bad, okay, and that kind of causes problems. So how to control that? Again, how to deal with such faults? And this is a totally different field altogether, but I found like the research I was doing actually solved a problem there which they did not know before. And there's this notion of called self-stabilization, and the research we're doing here was directly applicable in solving the problem, is how to make a system of computers self-stabilized by itself. That's when there's a fault, how to control it so that the system gets back and becomes stable. Okay? And there are many other such examples. I'll skip the buffer management. But the main one we are going to talk about is in AI this autonomous and goal-directed agents. But really, all the things that we are going to talk about, it has applications in many, many domains. You can see in the list there. And for your project, or for the paper I want you to write, which is my last slide, it could be about the last one about the autonomous and goal-directed agents. It could be related to that, or it could be you can take a domain, not here or some other outside of these agents, and so how you can use the notions of action, change, agents, evolutions in that to solve problems in that domain. So in other words, if you were not a AI person or agent person, this is still an important concept, and I would be interested in you applying it to some other field. That's fine too. But most of the time we're going to talk about agents, autonomous agents. Any questions? It's still very abstract. I mean, I'm kind of giving you introduction, but it's very abstract, and it will take at least a couple of, I mean, next class to get to where we are going. Okay? Yes. Yes, we will be discussing several formal models. I will get there very quickly. But I'm just giving a broader perspective of the whole course. Okay? Actually, yeah, I have here. Next slide. So how are we going to, our goal is to analyze and reason and coming up with ways to control. And this is why we want to do it and how we are going to do it. So the steps will be, we would want to find out what the actions are. Okay? Depending on the domain, depending on the problem we want trying to solve, what are the actions? What actions are there? How, the next question is, how do they affect the world? Okay? Now this is where a big part of the research goes into, is if you think of a world, what is a world? You can think of, as I said, memory units or variables, variables, and they have some values. Okay, so I can say this chair, the mouse is on the table, so that's the property of the world. So there are, depending on the particular world you're talking about, there are many such properties, and their values can be true, false, or you can say the color is green or blue. So there are these variables with values. Okay, and each combination of values is a particular view of the world or particular interpretation of the world. In a world, there are many things, objects, and then there are properties of these objects. Okay? Now when you do an action, it changes the world. Whatever the state of the world was, it changes the state of the world. Right? So big question is, how do I express the effect of an action on the world? I mean, why it's the big question? I'll give you a simple example. So suppose there are very simple n variables, okay, and binary variables. They can only take values true or false. Okay? Fine? So how many possible states of the world there can be? To the power n? Because if there are n variables with true and false, so each of them can be true or false, and then if there are n, then 2 to the power n possible ways, the possible states, right? So now I want to talk about what is the effect of an action on a state of the world, right? So if I want to write it, I have to say, okay, action A, 1, say one action, and there are exponential number of states, two different states, and in this state, it will go to this state. So I cannot just write this as a table. I mean, I could, but I would run out of space very quickly. Right? If there are many actions and many variables, means anything exponential, it's going to be huge. So an important question, the first question is, how do I describe the world and the effect of an action on the world? Before I do anything, I have to first describe it, right? Before I have to reason, think, and so on, I have to be able to describe the world properly. In some sense, a month will deal with how do I describe the world in a nice way. So next question. So we are a dynamic world, right? And we now know about actions and how they change the world. So now we make observations. Now we are, if you're an agent, or you don't observe everything. In any kind of environment, you cannot observe everything, except in certain programming environments, you of course have access to all the variables, but there are some other things you might not have access to. So you do not have complete knowledge, and you're making observations, and based on those observations, you're trying to figure out more where you are at. Okay? So if you're going to control, you make observations and you have to reason and think more about it. Means you, every day you see something and you don't see other things, but you reason and you think, okay, if I saw this, this must have happened, or this must have been true. You go home and you find the door open, then you start wondering what had happened, and you probably find some explanations to it. So we will discuss about observations and explaining observations to find more information before you can control the thing. Then the question of now we want to get to control the world. So we want to control the world. So the question is, what do we want with the world? Right? In the database example, I said you might want to say, I want this database to be consistent and satisfy these conditions. So this is something you want, and there are two levels of it: what you want and how you do it, or how it can be done. So there we have to deal with two different aspects of how do I specify what I want. Okay, and then so that's the specification of the desire or the goal or whatever I want to achieve. How do I specify that? And then, if I want to do it, how do I do it? What kind of program I write? Program or control I write? And what is the relation between the desire and this control? How do I make the control really agree to my desire? Okay. So there are many parts of the course, and that's when we get into gets rigorous, is we discuss about specifying the environment, specifying the effect of actions, okay? And out of that, what we get is this graph saying if you're in this state, you do this action, you get to this state. So we get kind of a big automata or a transition diagram. And again, we cannot just write this transition diagram directly because it's big, exponential number of states if we assume even just finite number of properties of the world. It's big. So we need a way to be able to succinctly represent this whole information. And then the second part is, now when you think of evolution, what evolution is basically particular parts in this graph. Okay? So you might want to say, okay, these are good parts. I want these, and these. Okay? Now each of these parts could be infinite. So of course I cannot specify this by giving infinite trajectories. These are called trajectories. So I have to be able to find a way to specify trajectories. And we'll discuss something called temporal logic that is used for this. And we'll find very interesting goals actually, where while we did research, we found that there was no way in previous literature people could express it. I'll give you an example. When you say maintain this room clean, okay, so thing you want to hire someone, an agent, and say maintain this room clean. So now, what does that mean, then, exactly? Is that possible? So you want the person to, like, while I'm giving lecture, come and. I mean, what do you do? The person is watching, it's like that movie of Tom Cruise, kind of guess your intent, and before you are about to make dirty, just captures you and takes you to jail. You know what movie I'm talking about? There was some movie recently, I forgot. So, obviously maintaining this room clean does not mean that this room cannot be dirty, right? Otherwise, somebody has to get into your mind, and before you are about to drop that thing that you're eating, has to capture you and take you. That's not going to be possible. Right? So what does it mean by maintaining this room clean?
Make it clean before each observation.
How does you know that when the observation is going to happen? So these are very interesting questions actually, because why we come from the AI side, we are sending this robots up in there where there's a communication lag, right? We cannot control it directly from here. So they have to do certain things from there, and we'll have to tell somehow we have our desire, and that has to get reflected clearly to what the robots can do. So if I hire a person and tell maintain this, that person is, I mean, he probably has some pre-meaning, but if I buy a computer and tell this to maintain, the computer is going to really have to give very precise instruction what I mean by maintain. Another example that we come across in the robot domain is try your best to do this. Say you have a door, right? And the door is kind of jammed. Sometimes it opens and sometimes it doesn't. So try your best means you keep trying like this and then it somehow opens. Maybe. Oftentimes, because if you're in uncertain domains, then you say, okay, try your best. So now how do I specify try your best? So we'll see, these are very interesting questions, and when we get down from English terms to mathematical in those diagrams, what does it mean by trying your best? What does it mean by maintain?
I think the most important, the most difficult thing is because the time is continuous.
We will assume that it's not continuous and make certain easy assumptions.
So for example, I can specify some discrete point of okay.
Yeah, no, even if you, we are going to assume time is discrete for most of the class.
The room must be clean at every specific point of time.
So what happens every one time point of time, you throw something. So at time 5, you throw something. So the person can come at 6 to clean it, right? So at 5, it is dirty. We'll see. We'll go and maybe, I mean, this is a research. Some of the things I'm mentioning are very recent research topics. So you are most welcome to find alternative interpretations than I teach. That will be fun. That's why I have the paper part. I want you to think beyond what I teach you. And that's exactly what I would like to write you to explore more, think more, discuss with me, and write a paper about it. Okay? So all those are very good things. Now, so one part of achieving or controlling what is, I mean, specifying what you really want. The second part is, of course, how to do it. So that's where the agent architecture comes into picture, agent control. I mean, what kind of a program is it? What kind of a control program is it? In the AI domain, for example, in the very beginning, they would have control is just a sequence of action. You do this, this, this. But that's not enough if the world is changing. You might want to do something, observe, and then do something. So we will discuss what are the different kind of architectures that we can do. And some of these architectures, and why NP completeness comes into picture, is if I'm giving you a specification and if the agent is supposed to think and come up with it, some of this thinking are time consuming and NP complete. So how do we deal with that? How do we build an agent where when we ask something, the agent might take lots of time to figure it out? So how do we deal with it? That's why we need this NP completeness issue. Is some of the things that we're going to do, the problems are inherently difficult. And you need to understand what the which problems are difficult and which are not. At least some examples of that. And the question is, how do we deal with it? Okay. So I might have gone too far ahead with my slide. But that's okay. Our example of choice, as I said, is design and analysis of autonomous agents, although I gave you many others and have written papers on many of the other examples. And you're most welcome to pick something else beside agents to write your paper on. Just you have to understand the various aspects of this action and change and evolution and goals and directives and so on. But it could be some other domain and that's perfectly okay. Okay, so why I went into agents at some point, and this has also very important implications in the field of this agent. So several years back, I don't know, the hype has probably a little bit died down. But a few years back, autonomous agents was a very hot field in AI. I mean, there are conferences named after autonomous agents, and everyone wanted to figure out what these agents are. And if you read papers, I mean, there was no formal, there are not very good definition of what an autonomous agent is, or a very, there's no systematic way of designing such agents. For example, the course, I mean, every one of you must have taken the relational database course, and there's a very definite way of designing relational databases, except you. There's a very definite way of designing relational databases. And my goal was to give a very systematic approach of designing agents. Okay? And so that was one of the reasons I kind of picked this agent as a prime example. And once you have a very formal approach to designing agents, then you could use it for different applications. And this is again another direction of research. You would find, I mean, many of the other fields actually, this is very interesting. I mean, I don't know if all of you are interested in artificial intelligence. I think last year, or quite often, we once or twice a year, we have different faculty of the department talk about their research. And what's funny part is, I mean, there will be professors from networks or distributed systems and so on, and they will talk about what is the really advanced thing they are doing. And you would find that, okay, my system can learn. I mean, they would be basically using AI issues in the problem that they are solving. I mean, that you would find the AI issues are the, and its use in various fields is the state of the art in many of these fields. Like, I want to make a network router which is intelligent. You'll find that. I would want to make this that is intelligent, that can do better than the traditional one, that has intelligence, that has, that can do reasoning, or that can learn, or you'll find those terms. So in the same way, when we talk about agents, you'll find them like network agents, embedded agents, all kinds of agents. So again, just perfectly, I would be interested if someone interested in another field would like to use the idea of agents in a particular field they're interested in, and say, okay, and formulate it and do a precise design of an agent in that field using the formalisms and the things that we study in this class. That's also a good project, a good paper or direction. I'm just suggesting because I do not know your background, and I don't want to pin you down to, like, you have to do exactly what. I'm just saying, I'm going to teach you the theory, but I'm going to open your eyes so that you can apply it to many different things. And it's your pick where you want to apply it. Okay? So now we get into autonomous agents, even though I have used so far. So in these cases, what I do usually is I try to go to the dictionary. I mean, my favorite used to be dictionary.com. And I'll go there and type the word and see what it comes up with. Okay, what do common people, what do the people who make business understand with these words? So these are some of the meanings that I found on agents. One that acts or has the power or authority to act. So you can see the word acts in there, always. Empowered to act or act for or represent another. A means by which something is done or caused. A force or substance that causes a change. So you can see now the word connection between agent, change, action, cause, all those words, right? It means act. So agent is something which acts, and we have been talking about act is, and means you act by doing an action. Okay, you find the word act here. So something, you do something. Doing is another kind of action, right? Something is done, causing a change. So you can see the connection between agent and change, and this. Now, autonomous, not controlled by others or by outside forces, independent in mind or judgment or governed, self-directed, government, self-directed, self-governing, can do things on its own. So we actually do not want an autonomous agent, complete autonomous agent, because if it becomes completely autonomous, maybe it will make us its slave. So we have to somehow have some control. So what we really mean is, if we are going to talk about autonomous agents, it's like semi-autonomous. That means we want to tell that the agent give some high level directions, not detailed, and the agency will figure out what to do with it. Okay? We want to be able to tell it, but not at the nitty gritty detail, but say, okay, make me a reservation. Then let the agent figure out, I'm going to Boston tomorrow and coming back this day, you take care of it. So that's what your travel agent will do. Right? So we don't want to completely autonomous, that's the danger. But we do want the agent to be able to semi-autonomous in the sense we give it a big picture over what you want and we want the agent to figure out and do it. So that's where the word autonomous comes into picture. That we would like, it can take high level directives, so we can tell it what we want. Maintain this room clean. Try your best to get me this. So. And it can figure out from the knowledge, it knows what it can do, how it changes the world. So the agent has all this thing. And then it can figure out what to do. And you'll do that. Okay. And from that dictionary meaning, I made this meaning of agent is an entity that acts and causes change. Okay. The part that I'm missing here, which will inject a little bit, is an aspect of learning. Okay, so anything intelligent has to learn, and that's kind of the slightly difference between autonomous agent and say intelligent autonomous agent. Is an agent can be autonomous. So how much it can learn on its own, and that is the aspect I have not injected into a lot of this course. So this is something, another topic. People who have background in learning. And I will cover a little bit of that, but how to properly inject learning to this framework. Okay. So what ability an autonomous agent must possess? It must understand high-level directives, must have knowledge about its abilities, what action it can perform, how these actions affect the world, must be able to reason and chalk out its plan of action, and revise them if things change. So these are some abilities that autonomous agent must possess. Must understand high-level directives. Must know what it can do and what it cannot do, right? And whatever it can do, how it affects the world. It comes down to the same thing I talked about before. That's what we want to do. Must be able to reason and chalk out its plan of action. So all these things I talked about here is necessary to systematically design an autonomous agent, because that's what the agent must possess. So if you want to design one, we need to have it has to have all that ability. And this is a little bit of a repeat. So the broader steps of designing an agent, I said before. So first you have to represent the actions and the environment. Well, this is bad, right? 6 o'clock. No. They turn off the AC, I think, right? Yeah, it's getting hot. Yeah, I don't know. 5:30. I'm very sensitive to heat.
I think if you press the.
Oh, really? This one? So the steps of designing an autonomous agent is first thing you want to do is, if I'm designing an agent, right? Maybe a robot, maybe a program, software agent. Like to figure out what the environment is, what are the objects in the environment, what are the relationship between these objects. So when I say relationship between objects, and this is where actually it differs from the traditional sense of variables, although Java messes up everything. Means we have, say, variables x, y, z, all that variables, right? I can independently assign something to x. By assigning something to x, it automatically does not change the value of y. There is a mechanism in Java to do that. But in general, like, we have these variables, and if I assign some value, then that value stays for that variable. The other variables have the other value. But in the real world, when we start talking about agents, I mean, if I, if there is this thing here, and I move the chair, then whatever is on there also moves along with it. So the objects in the world are interrelated. Changing the property of one object may affect other objects in the world. So when I'm describing the world, I need to be able to describe the relationship between the objects in the world. Okay? And so now this becomes more complicated. What becomes more complicated is specifying the change. So now I have to specify that I'm trying to specify the change, what change happens when I do certain action in the world, right? So I want to say, if I pick up the chair gets picked, right? Or if I lift the chair is now lifted. Now what happens to the eraser marker that I put there? So how do I say that? So it becomes more complicated, and we're going to discuss how we can specify changes in the world. It's not very simple. In planning, they take certain simple languages. But when you start thinking about it, there are many things which become much more difficult. So how exactly we specify the change in the world? How does it interfere with the interrelation between objects in the world? Yes. So that's something we have to talk about. As far as the agent design is concerned, so we need to figure out the objects in the environment, the relationship between the objects, actions that the agent can perform, actions that are beyond the control of the agent, the exogenous actions they call it, and then of course how do the actions affect the environment. And the main issue here is going to spend time is to devise or to discuss, it's already devised, languages that allow us to specify actions, specify the relationship relationship between objects in the world and the impact of an action on the world. So we want to specify a language. We want to discuss a language, present a language where you can specify this, and the meaning of that would be a kind of a transition graph. So when you specify something, what comes out of it is a transition graph, saying, okay, if you're in this state, you do this action, you get to this state. Okay. So this is one step. Second step is, what is the goal of the agent? Again, we discussed, what do we want the agent to do? And do we want it to achieve something, maintain something? In general, it's basically to make the trajectories taken by the agent to satisfy certain conditions. These conditions are given in temporal logic. So we want to be able to control the evolution, how the world evolves. Same thing, it says make the trajectories taken by the agent satisfy certain conditions. So research issues here is, are existing temporal languages enough? Do we need new constructs? And there are actually research topics which I have given hint, is the notion of knowledge temporal goals. And the issues of how hard it is to generate an agent controller plan with such goals. Temporal logic is one of the very fundamental logic that is used in computer science. The people who developed it, some of them got the Turing Award. Amir Nueli from Israel, he got the Turing Award for developing temporal logic. It's a very fundamental thing to learn. Interestingly, when I started doing research, I found that the temporal logics were made in the 70s, 60s to specify what a program should do. Okay, what to tell to specify, again similar to like agents, specify what we want from a program. For program specification, that's when it was developed. Now, that was program. So now we are talking about real environments, robots, and goals like try your best. You never, like in those days, you're not going to tell a program that, okay, you're not going to ask a programmer, write a program which tries its best to sort. That doesn't make sense. You have to write a program which sorts or not sorts. Okay? Tries your best doesn't make sense in those contexts. So they did not think of such goals. They did not think of goals such as maintain, or that the kind of things that you come up when you start thinking of robots and sending something to moon or sending something to there. I mean, something is stuck and you tell the thing, you try your best to get out of that mess. We are stuck position. Those were not the things you would ask the program to do. So we come across examples or interesting issues which couldn't be represented using the traditional temporal logics. So we had to develop our own. And it becomes more fun is when you try to have these aspects together with the aspect of knowledge. What is the aspect of knowledge? The aspect of knowledge is that there are certain values you do not know. So I have no idea if somebody is standing outside that door or not. Right? But I could have a goal. So I could have a knowledge goal. So this is the example of a knowledge goal. I can tell the agent that makes sure that at every, say discrete, at every time, you know whether the baby is crying or not. You want to know that. It's not that you want the baby to not cry or cry. I mean, that's different. You want to know that whether the baby is crying or not. So this notion of knowing something, it's a very interesting notion, knowing something and the value of something. Okay? So there's a difference between knowledge and truth. And we have to venture into that. Because what sensors do is basically they sense values. I mean, if you think of some object, this object is on the table or not on the table, that's a property. But I may not know it. I mean, I'm not looking, right? If I'm looking this side and something happened, I have no idea if it is there or not, if it is on the table or not. But in the real world, it is one of those is true. But my knowledge about it, I don't know. So this, I mean, the issue of knowledge is very, very interesting when you start thinking about it. The truth and knowledge, what is true and what I know. And when you are designing agents, sometimes, I mean, you want the agent to not just make something happen, but know that it happened or know what is the value. You can say, okay, if you want to know, you just sense it. Not everything is you can sense. Okay? So, for example, you go to a doctor. The doctor can only sense temperature or things like that. There are certain other things based on this thing that it can sense. It makes judgment about other attributes of your body. Similarly, in a machine or things, there are certain sensors, but the sensors don't tell you everything. So, when you're thinking about agents, controlling and so on, the issue of knowing something and not knowing something adds another dimension, complicated dimension to it, very interesting dimension to it. And that's very, so people who work on sensors, it will be a very interesting aspect of that. Because you cannot have sensor on all millions of things that you want to know about, all the things. You will have some certain sensors. Now question is, from those sensors, how do you derive what else you can make conclusion about? Okay, so that's where the notion of knowledge temporal goals come into picture, that I might want to tell my agent that not just that it should maintain or it should be always true or a temporal aspect, but a knowledge aspect that it should know this value at all period of time, say at all point of time. And this is a dimension that's not been very fully exploited. There is a lot of research left there. And as I said, this is not an introductory class. I'm going to the next level where I'm going to teach whatever is known and going to point out things that are not is still research issues. Now, agent architecture and execution languages. So there are various kind of agent architectures. On one spectrum, end of the spectrum, is the reactive agent. It just reacts. So it's basically what it is, it's a collection of rules of the form, if you observe X and the context is Z, then do this Y. And it has a bunch of rules and you keep doing it. And there are simple agents, you can think like the thermostat thing. If the temperature is below this, means you keep sensing if the temperature is above this or below this, start. And if it goes down this, turn it off. Very reactive. But this is the first easy case. But even then, the question is, so there's still interesting questions here. So I give you agent a task, right? Or some kind of a directive. Now agent has to implement it. And maybe one way to implement is through some reactive control. Now who writes that control? Does the agent with its knowledge comes up with that control? That's like it has ability to plan, come up with that control? Possible? Then we have to figure out how agents can do that. How agents can take a goal or a directive of the kind I talked about, like maintain this or something, and then from that come up with. So it's a good example, like in one sense you say maintain, tell the agent maintain this room clean, so the agent's reactive control will be see if the room is unclean, if room unclean go clean it and keep doing it, right? Look, so now how does the agent come up with that rule? It's a simple example. How does the agent come up with the rule? Or maybe I tell the agent, I give the agent that rule. How do I know that if the agent does this rule, keeps doing this, then it will maintain? I mean, it's a simple example. How do I connect this? My expression of that maintain this, and my directive, and this control saying, if you see it's unclean, clean it. I mean, this case is obvious. It seems very close, but actually we haven't defined what maintain means. So somehow this has to be connected. In fact, that will be to figure out what maintain means, it's easy to go backwards. Because it's a good control rule to say, if room unclean, clean, right? To maintaining. Now try to figure out what exactly this, what kind of evolution this allows.
I think that because we have the knowledge of that and we put it into the agent.
Right.
No,
what I'm saying is, we were discussing before what does maintain mean, right? So I'm saying one way to figure out what maintain means is we know from our basic understanding, if we ask someone what maintain, do maintain, this is what that person will do, right? He will look, if you allow him to come and interrupt you, he's just looking, and if something gets dirty, he'll come and take it, because he cannot judge your pre-intention and arrest you or take it away from your hand. So the person can only look, sense. And the moment it senses something dirty, it takes it away, cleans it, right? That is what you would expect somebody to maintain. So now, this is what the program is. Now from that, you need to find the temporal or formulation of what maintenance is. Okay? So sometimes, the meaning of a particular goal is, to formalize it, we need to see how people who are intelligent are going to achieve that goal. And that might give us a clue that how we go from that to what exactly maintain means. Because many times, all these things, when you're trying to formalize something, we rack our brain, because we are supposedly intelligent. How would I do it? It's just that robots do not have our brain. They did not come up with a brain. So we have to write everything. So the way we do it, we self-analyze ourselves, what I would be doing, and try to go from that, extrapolate it to the robot, to the program. Okay. So that was the reactive control. And there's the purely deliberative agent. And actually, why I cannot always have a reactive agent is the same reason is I cannot have this table. There are exponential number of states. So I cannot have those rules saying if you are in this state, do this. Right? I just, it will not fit in my memory. If there are 1,000 properties, 2 to the power 1,000 is how much? Very big number. You cannot have that many rules. And this is where it links to, so this is where I would connect to Pat's idea, the cognitive architectures, is that reactive is not possible completely. So you go to the other end and say deliberative. It's like, okay, I am a smart guy. I'm going to see what is happening, think, and then come up with my plan to do it. Okay? So there is not much, I mean, the whole thing is just 5 lines. Or few lines of the code. Code is not a big deal anymore because I'm thinking. So I make plans, I observe, and I know my goal, so I'm going to make a plan of how to achieve that goal, and I'm going to execute it. And since the world can change, so I'm not going to execute the whole plan, I'm going to do a little bit of it and check again if something has gone wrong. Okay? I'm going to continuously do that. And what this avoids is I don't have to store things in it, store those bunch of rules, right? Possibly exponential number of rules. Now, so here we have thrown the complexity to the side of reasoning. Coming up with plan is NP complete, so that might take exponential time. So we have bargained our exponential space with exponential time. Right? So what do we do? So we cannot be purely reactive, we cannot be purely deliberative. So the agent architecture I'm thinking, so this is my thought on agent architecture, is kind of course, in between. So what we do is we are reactive. If I start thinking about myself as an agent, we are reactive about certain conditions which are very important, like fire drill, that's why they drill it to you. It might happen very rarely, but it's so important that you were supposed to drill, it has to be drilled to you. Okay? There are other cases which happen so often that it stays with you. So to me, there are like these reactive rules which are there for some number of states. If this state, do this. If this, do this. You have a bunch of those. Not exponential number of those, but a bunch of those. Either because they're very important or because they are happen often enough that you don't want to waste time planning. I mean, so when you go home, like people who drive, you exactly know when you should start moving to your appropriate lane because you do every day. And you also, when you drive, you react. You know that, okay, car comes close, you do something. You have your reaction set programmed into it. So for something important, something often, things are programmed, kind of reactive. Now something which happens very rarely, you are going to spend time and think about it. Example of this, you're driving and you get lost. Or you're driving even in your city and your exit is blocked. In a new city, so what do? You pull over, take out your map and make a plan of how do I get to the new point because my usual route is blocked. And I don't know enough about this. I mean, after some time you also know the area, so then you can quickly make a plan in your mind. But you're going to make a plan, right? So that's exactly what I have in mind of an agent architecture, is reactive for often or important or some number of things, and deliberative, completely deliberative for very rare situations and not so important, very rare, so you're going to plan completely. Now there are something in between also, which are not so uncommon, but not common enough that you want to store it as reactive rules. So there what you do is you're going to plan, but you're going to store some knowledge about how to make that plan faster. You're not going to spend exponential time making that plan. You're going to somehow use some heuristics, somehow make quick plans. So that's the kind of agent architecture I have in mind. And we're going to discuss. So this was a purely deliberative one. The next slide is about hybrid ones, reactive for some important, frequent, critical states, deliberative for others. The states for which reactions are stored and updated similar to the CAS main memory hierarchy. And this also in cognitive architectures, there are also hierarchy of memories. But in computers, hardware, you have CAS, you have registers, you have main memory, right? You store important things in registers because access is quick. Main memory is much slower. secondary memory is much, much slower. So similarly, I have what I have in mind is the agent architecture is something which is often critical, frequent, is have to be stored in kind of as reactive rules. Rare things, not so important, you're going to deliberate when they need arise just once in a year. Things in between, you are going to, so various levels of reactivity, so things in between, you can be somewhere in between. So that's the various levels of reactivity. Simplest ones spell out the action, like in this state do this. But a little more deliberative is in this state do this reasoning, a little bit of reasoning to figure out. So it's reactive in some sense, but not completely reactive. It doesn't give you the action right away. What to do, it says, okay, if you're in this state, do this, 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 and then you'll find out what to do. A little bit more. Not completely reactive, immediate, but some thinking is necessary. And there's a various level. Means in planning, there's like you can use domain knowledge to do planning faster. So you can use domain knowledge, you have some, and not be NP complete, but can do it faster. So all this thing, I put this in the spectrum. Reactive, deliberative, in between various states of in between. And that's the kind of architecture that I have in mind for agents. Okay. So we have 1 minute, so I'll skip this slide. So this was a summary saying when you're designing agents, the big steps are you need to figure out what are the actions, environment, what are the effect of actions. You need to go for goal and directive. Then you need to think about the execution, the architecture. And then the tasks are you write 1 and 2 and try to come up with 3. Or given 1, 2, and 3, verify 3 is correct. So these are the things I discussed and we can do it next class a little more. I had a particular example of the database of how you can think of a data consistency maintenance agent. Okay? So as I said, the agent is not just robot or AI agent, it can be applicable in many places. And I talked about databases and I was going to I'll give you an example of the database agent. Next class. And here I put the paper ideas. As I said, there are two parts. You can do in the action and change part. That means you can think of new language constructs for expressing effect of actions, goals. Or you can model a domain with action and change, and this model could be some other kind, like I picked the cell example. It could be modeling, I mean, actually one of the modeling how things are, people, you want to model some activity, model insurgents in a war. Actually, some of the funding agencies are interested in to find a model of how things happen. How do people kind of, how do the terrorists, what they're doing so that you can thwart them. So pick a domain where you can where you model using actions and change ideas. And then, or you can do autonomous agents, and the way to do it is enhance existing agent architectures, come up with new ones, put together. I mean, some of the things that, that are missing in my architecture is the learning part. So enhance that, or design and implement an agent in a particular domain. As I talked about network agent, this agent, that agent, routing agent, that agent. So how to come up with a framework of systematically designing an agent. I'm giving this from day one so that you can you get a big picture of the whole thing and you can start thinking and relating to any other areas of your interest that you might have. I would like, I mean it would be great if some of your papers are of publishable quality. That's what I would be very interested in, that you want, I want you to start working, because I'm going to put the material very, I'm going to put all material in a week. The chapters of the book and the slides from the actually the slides are already there from previous semester, so you can have a quick idea of what is there and start thinking about your paper from the first few weeks, not wait till say November or this October to think about the paper. Okay?
Are the slides in your website or on this
Blackboard? No, everything is, I don't use Blackboard, so everything will be in this website. I don't have a Blackboard thing. Okay, so we should stop here. The next class people are probably here.